It's cool story, cool story. The Wheel of Time, the ultimate fantasy. It's cool story, cool story.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
How was the movie? What did you think?
Oh, I loved it.
Did you just call me Bardie?
No, I called you Barbie.
Oh, it sounded like you said, hi, Bardie. And I was like, did we not know what we were doing here? So you liked it?
I can't stop thinking about it. I loved it.
I know. It was so good.
Yeah, I knew some of the themes coming in, but I stayed away from spoilers very much so. Like, didn't watch any trailers. Like, if I saw a meme, I scrolled past it. For the most part. And I'm glad I did because I loved it so much.
Yeah. I thought Kate McKinnon was so funny.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And did you know that Mattel is releasing a weird Barbie now?
Are they really?
Yeah. So you can buy a weird Barbie.
Oh my God. That's so smart.
It's really smart. I think they're releasing like special editions of all the, that like cast. Sort of look more like the actors who played the roles.
Yeah. Ever since the movie, we've been like watching like a million Barbie videos, you know.
You're just like me.
Oh my God, that's my favorite one. I used to send that to my coworker all the time when we would talk shit.
Well, Barbie was on my list of things to talk about, but the only other thing I have is that I started and finished two different shows that you told me, and others have told me about.
Okay, I'm ready.
Do you like how I had to take some credit away from you?
Sure.
So the first one was Jury Duty.
Oh, what did you think?
I loved it. I thought it was really funny. I kind of like got the sense that which they are, I think, but like all of the characters, it seemed like they were at the beginning less coached than we found out that they were at the end, like when they sort of did the like production wrap up kind of behind the scenes thing with him.
Yeah.
So in my mind, it was like literally just all improvisation. And I was like, I would murder to be on this show and be one of the weird jury members improvising in these scenes, because I feel like that would be so fun.
Right. I mean, I feel like they must have been a lot of improv. Like, with, you know, they had their storyline of what they had to stick to.
Yeah.
But it feels like, even in the end, like, it went in different directions a couple times and they had to change things up.
Yeah.
That must have been so fun to be on that show. Like, they were so good. The cast was so funny.
Yeah, I loved it. And it was a cute way to wrap it up, too, I think. Like, it wasn't feelings. Like, haha, we fooled you, you're so stupid, like, Ashton Kutcher vibe.
Right, right. It was just feel good, like, you're part of it, and we just kind of, like, fell in love with you. Didn't you just fall in love with the main character? He was so sweet. He was really kind. Sweet.
My favorite thing was that there was that moment where the guy who fell and injured himself, supposedly, he was like, I'm going to go rub one out. And he was like, yep, do it while you got time. And then like, it was somebody brought up like, oh, he always said such sweet things to me. It just made me laugh so much.
That was such a good touch.
I wonder, do you think they're going to do another season?
I bet they will. They'll just have to, like, totally change it up. Like, it'll have to be a different environment or a different, you know what I mean? Something's going to have to obviously be different about it. But
I don't know.
I feel like whoever the team is that made that will have to make something else, you know?
Yeah.
It was too good, you know?
Yeah.
I said, you know, too many times in a row. Anyway, what was the other thing you watched?
Yellow Jackets.
Oh, and your thoughts?
Start to finish, so I'm done with season two.
Okay, us too.
I know season three is not yet in the works because of the strike. But it was great. I loved it. There was honestly like a few times where I was like, I can't watch this. Like I had to like turn away because it was kind of gruesome.
Yeah.
But oh my God, the actress who plays Shauna as an adult is just so phenomenal.
She's incredible.
Like, really, really, really good. And I know she's kind of, like, been in a bunch of stuff and sort of, like, acclaimed as a pretty skilled actor. But I'm not as familiar with her. I had only seen her once before in those, like, one or two episodes of The Last of Us.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. I was like, I immediately recognized her from that. But I feel like when I saw her in The Last of Us, I recognized her. And I, when I looked up her IMDb, I think it was like that kind of thing. She's been a like incredible actress for a long, long time. But
yeah,
her and the way they cast the youthful character, like the young to old characters, is so good.
Yeah, I mean, they did a really, especially with some of them, like I think the young Shauna and the young Natalie particularly, like,
oh yeah,
I can imagine that they spent a lot of time sort of studying each other to make sure that there was really good continuity, because there are times where even just like the inflection or the tone or the facial expression is like really evocative of the younger or older self. It's so good.
Yeah. I was very surprised by how much, I had no idea what to expect with that show. I had a few people recommend it to us and I knew it was like intense, so to speak. Yeah. But wow. Wowie, yeah. Wow.
Wowie, wow, oh, wow.
I'm glad you watched. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of wowie, wow, wow.
Wowie, wow, wow. I'm ready to get into the book. I have one book-related thing.
Okay.
Or no, Wheel of Time-related thing. I haven't watched the...
Oh, the little bonus episode thing?
No, have you?
Yes, I have.
Is it worth it or is it fan bait kind of thing?
Oh, no, you definitely should watch it.
Okay, good. All right, yeah, me and Davey are going to watch it together. We were going to watch it the night we came back from the Barbie movie, but we ended up just watching Barbie things. And I'm like, oh, crap, when I started thinking about recording today, I had totally forgotten. So that's what I'm going to do as soon as I finish recording this.
Okay, great. Let me know what you think.
I will. And I'm ready when you are.
I'm ready.
My. Okay. Well, this is The Lord of Chaos, or Lord of Chaos, Chapter 7. The title is A Matter of Thought, and the little icon is the Dream Ring.
Mm.
So, Teleron Riad, we haven't been here in a minute in the dream world, Kirby's dream world. Imagine they encountered Kirby and Teleron Riad. I mean, anything could happen there. You can, like, imagine
anything. It's true.
Anything.
Kirby, I mean, if there was a real Kirby in that world, he could for sure appear in Teleron Riad.
I'm just saying, it's dream world. He could maybe save Teleron Riad. He can maybe, like, fix all the glitches that make it kind of dangerous. Okay.
I saw a little, like, two-panel comic of Kirby at a doctor.
Uh-huh.
And you probably saw this. And the doctor's like, okay, take a deep breath for me. And then the next panel is Kirby in the doctor's outfit walking into the receptionist room saying, send in my next patient.
Genius. Genius. Okay. Well, we are with Elaine, and she is brushing her hair, Marsha Brady style, like 100 times on each side.
It's like so funny.
Immediately what I thought of when they started describing her brushing her hair.
Yes.
And Nynaeve is, they're, you know, getting ready for bed. Nynaeve is doing her braid back up for bed, and we find out that Elaine has been working on making Tarongriel for quite a bit. And as we remember, she's, of course, not satisfied with her work. But in this chapter alone, we learn about some of the Tarongriel that she's made successfully. And I'm sure there's a bunch more. So she's probably just being a little hard on herself. And honestly, when they described the Tarongriel she made, I was, like, super impressed. I don't know how much time has passed since the last time we've seen them. It feels like it hasn't been that long.
Probably not that long. Like,
less
we had
than a month, right?
Maybe, yeah.
I'm just very impressed. Just saying. Yeah. It's hot as hell here, as it is everywhere. But I think everyone thinks it's more specific to their region, even though there's rumors of the weather. And she's trying to get through it by adapting a Linny saying that she remembers, which is, what can't be changed must be endured. And I'm not sure she's doing very well with that. She's like dying. And Nynaeve is wearing the Adam that's holding Mageddon in disguise as Marigan, right?
Yes.
Okay. And Elaine and her are, like, switching off basically every other day. Elaine thinks it's kind of, like, extra, but Nynaeve is like, hell no, we're not leaving this on a peg. I don't care. This is Mageddon. You never know. Better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
And that's how I would be.
Come Agreed. On. Yes.
This is Mageddon.
Literally one of the most dangerous people in the world.
Yeah. And Elaine's like, we could leave it on a peg.
Yeah.
Elaine insists that they get going and not keep everyone waiting, because we find out that there's a group waiting for them. And she and Nynaeve both now have copies of the Tarongriel twisted dream ring. made by Elaine. Mm-hmm. The original's held by Swan right now, and that is, if you remember, I think it's blue, brown, and red flecks on it.
Yes.
These ones, I think, are similar in size, maybe a little bigger, but the main difference about them is that one is blue and red, and one is blue and brown, and the other is blue and red. She can't get it to be with all the colors, which is only significant because she's tried this many times to make these specific rings. One time she failed, and it was like a blue solid ring that gave you nightmares. I wonder if that's still around somewhere, and if we'll see that later.
They just give it to accepted and novices as punishment. Like, yes. You've been a dick today. You have to go to sleep hazing. With a shit ring.
Yeah. It's like when I worked at Starbucks, one thing people used to do is hazing, which is terrible. But when you make an espresso shot, the little puck that remains... Yes. People would give that to a new hire and put like whipped cream on it and say it was a brownie.
That's awful.
I know. And that's what I feel like this would be. You would give this little blue ring to somebody and say, this is the dream ring. And just say
you'll
nothing
only
else.
Have great dreams. Oh my
Good
God,
night.
That's awful.
I know, so gross. So, but she's made these two successfully. They work similarly to other Tron girls she made, where, like, you're in the dream world, but you're kind of hazy. You can't do all the things with, you know, Sidene you normally couldn't do.
Sidar,
thank you. But it's, you know, it gets you there. And she thinks it has something to do with the colors, because that's the only thing that doesn't seem similar from
Perfect.
These copies.
Yeah.
So get these colors, girl. But it's pretty I'm just so impressed that she's making copies of freaking the Dream Ring.
Yeah, so, people haven't done it for thousands of years or whatever.
Yeah. So her and Elaine argue a little bit before bed. They're talking about Egwene and how they're wishing she would recover from her injuries. And it's like kind of a sore spot. She's still been out of commission from the Lanfear Moraine extravaganza fight to the death. So
little side note that just popped back into my memory was the first time I read this book series, I remember kind of I was getting not quite to Lord of Chaos, but maybe like starting it. Mm-hmm. And I remember telling my brother, I was like, it feels like everybody has like a thing they can do except for Elaine. Because I was like, Nynaeve can heal, Egwene can dream, and Elaine's just like there.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, she has a talent. And I was like, I wheedled it out of him what it was. So I have a distinct memory of being like, finding out that she could make Tarong real, like probably very shortly before getting to this book.
Oh my gosh. I was shocked. I had no idea. I didn't think that was going to be a thing. I just didn't view that as a thing. Nor did I view the idea of like healing. I kind of thought something was going to happen with severing and being able to channel again, but I thought it was only going to be with the men. Mm-hmm, something told me that like people like Loghain weren't totally dangerless in some way. You know what I mean? But I really did not even imagine anything that's going on with Nynaeve.
Yeah.
So it's a whole new world for these folks. That's how I felt about Matt for a long time, is I was like, Matt's just there. Like, Perrin's a wolf, Rand's the dragon.
Legitimately, that's why Matt's people were so mad about the changes they made to Matt's character in the first series compared, like, you know, having him come from, like, less well-to-do parents and sort of being a little sketchier. And it's like, he literally was just like a stick figure for the first book. So what are you complaining about?
He's just comic relief.
Yeah.
Or a D-bag. So I totally agree. So the two of them are getting ready for bed. They have their dream rings on, like chains around their neck or, you know, the cords. Elaine and Nynaeve take some of Nynaeve's sleepy time tea and they are off to dreamland. First, Nynaeve falls asleep. Elaine tosses a little bit, worrying about some things that she's heard lately, things that, like, the Dragonsworn, or some people nearby are said to be Dragonsworn and, you know, collecting, and there's news about Elida and the Tower, and the Forsaken she's worried about, and she's worried about Rand, and she's worried about Min going to see Rand, and then she's off to bed. And when she arrives in Teleron Riad, she's standing in the middle of Salidar, or the reflection of Salidar, and there's an impatient Leanne, Nynaeve, and Swan all waiting in line for her, and Swan is wearing a blue dress, showing like a ring around her neck, and she's gotten pretty decent at like telerunriot skills. She's the one who's holding the ring that makes her fully there anyway, also.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's in her favor. But, you know, your clothes changed and all that kind of crap, and she has it kind of down. Leanne, on the other hand, is wearing a translucent Damani-style dress that's like changing colors rapidly, and I just thought that's probably so beautiful. Like, just let it change colors.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And Swan, they're all impatiently waiting because not only are they waiting for Elaine to get there and get in line with them, but all of them are there because they're supposed to be meeting with a group of the Aes Sedai in Salidar, who are all going to be meeting them in Talaran Riad for a very specific schedule purpose. One that Swan is like very over. She's impatient. She goes on this rant that I don't know if it's because we're watching Pose right now, but she goes on a rant that was like very Electra. It's like, I don't have time for this. This is ridiculous. They don't know anything that they think they do. So basically what this is I think every week the Sheriam and her council basically have decided we're the ones who are going to go to Teleron Riad and speak with the Wise Ones and Egwene when yeah. Egwene is available. Not you guys anymore. You have other things to do. But the caveat is the day before and the day after this meeting, this group has to go to Teleron Riad with the sisters who are ultimately going to have this meeting just to kind of like train them beforehand and then like debrief afterwards.
Yeah, kind of like give them a final lesson, so to speak, before they meet the Wise Ones.
Right, because they're in Teleron Riad, which is a huge leap for anyone from the Tower, because that's not anything that anyone believes anyone in the Tower knows how to do, really. But they don't really know how to do anything there, and they don't really follow directions very well. So
yeah.
They do this every week, which I imagine makes this group very bitter because they want to be the ones going.
Yeah.
In any event, everyone is very upset that they haven't been able to see Egwene and that they've only been able to see the Wise Ones. And they're, you know, standing there waiting. Finally, the group of sisters arrive in Teleron Riad. They're all sort of misty as well because they are using other dream Tarungriel to get there.
Mm-hmm.
The other various ones that they had or that Elaine has made, like discs and things like that. The ones that you have to channel into, basically, to get there, because that's what they feel more comfortable with. And because of this, they show up like misty in Teleron Riad, like the other ones.
Yep.
But they're all there, and as they're approaching, Elaine and Nynaeve sort of overhear them having a conversation, and it seems like they're debating over some sort of decision they have to make about someone, and if it will be a favorable decision who they're choosing, and if the woman that they're talking about will be easily controlled, and if that's a good or bad thing. To me, they haven't chosen like an Amyrlin for their group, right?
No.
So to me, it feels like that's what they're talking about, like who they would choose for that, but they don't really say. So Bionin is a gray sister that's there. It seems like they have a sister from each Aja there besides the red, right?
I guess they've got Myrel, Sheriam. Yeah, I think so.
I think that's what it was. And then are we to believe that these women that are there are all like sitters of the Aja or the color they are? Or they're
they're the kind of ones who sort of got everyone together when they first sort of joined in Salidar. Like there's the Hall of the Tower, but it's, these six are kind of the
core group.
Yeah.
The founders, if you will.
They're the plastics.
So Bionin, she's one of the ones there. She's a gray sister. She's saying that they Swan and Leanne need to start getting along better because they've worked together in the past and they need to just, get past it. Because we have to remember that since they've been there, they've been pretending to be fighting. And so they've convinced everyone that they're at each other's throats all the time, Swan and Leanne. And they said, you guys have to start working together. And as they're, all gathering, Elaine is thinking about how awkward all of these meetings must be between the Aes Sedai group and the Wise Ones. Because the Aes Sedai have a gajillion questions, probably, each time they're meeting about what's going on with Rand, what's going on in, how do we work Teleron Riad? Just a million questions in general. And they're going to want answers because they are Aes Sedai. And the wise ones, as we know, are very sort of staunch. They kind of hold to their customs. They hold their information pretty close to the vest. And they have sort of, they're very territorial about Tel Aranriad. Like, they don't want to share everything about it. They like having more information than anyone else.
Yeah.
So Elaine thinks these must be like meetings where they just kind of sit around and like, someone just goes, I heard the chicken's delicious. But here they are, and they're you know, kind of like talking, and eventually a few of them are like, can we get on with this? We have things to do. We don't have time to just be sitting here. Let's go. And they all decide to focus together, and they are all doing that, like, traveling in Tel Aranriad, where they all imagine a place, and they all arrive together in Elida's study. And Nynaeve gives them a little talking to. She sounds like a really bored instructor reading off of, like, a card, who's, like, mm-hmm. really over-saying the same thing over and over again. And she's like, all right, Aes Sedai, we need to get it together. We're in Tel Aranriad. Remember how it works. Anything you think of can happen. Last time we were here, I'm not mentioning any names, but I think somebody brought a mirror drawl in. And, you know, I know we said it could have been a nightmare, but let's be real. I think it was one of you. So let's not do that this time. And don't make asses of yourself in front of the wise ones, because they're not going to do it that, okay? And this is like her attitude, and I'm loving it, but no one else is loving it.
No.
They're all like, you're not an Aes Sedai, you're not a sister, you're teaching us something, good for you, like, chill. Elaine is like doing her usual thing she has to do with Nynaeve, which is like apologize for her and be like, I'm so sorry, no, she didn't mean it, it's fine.
Yes.
We love you.
Yeah.
We're tired. as this is all going on, Leanne is like, I got other things to do. She has a network of eyes and ears in Tarvalon. And so she's like, I'm out. I'm going to go check on that. And so she leaves, and the sisters say, well, Nynaeve, go follow her. You have to go follow her now. And that's kind of like your punishment. Basically, make sure she's okay, which Nynaeve begrudgingly does. So now we're in the room with the sisters and Swan and Elaine. And they're all, you know, going to be like looking around here. But before they get too far, in pops a, you know, apparition of Elida, which she's not really there. It's a dream, they say. But she appears there, and she like shouts, as I have foretold, the White Tower will be united under me. Under me! And then she points down and says, kneel and ask forgiveness of your sins. And she like poofs out. I'm like, wow, drama. If that's her dream, girl, drama. Get yeah. over yourself. But they, you know, kind of move on. They're looking through Elida's stuff. But what some of them have found is that going through Alvieran's papers yields more information usually. In the past, going through Alvieran's things has discovered them. that Alvieran kind of does things without Elida knowing, against Elida's wishes. Sometimes she, like, foils her plans in some ways. She seems mm-hmm. to know a little bit more. And that doesn't surprise me, because Alvieran is such a maniac. Like, wow, she's really a maniac. Like, I feel like Alvieran is more dangerous than Elida. Because she's just so sneaky. You know what I mean? There's just... I can't... Ever since she started her whole shit... I just been so angry at her.
Yeah.
So through looking through these papers, some of the things they learned that emissaries from the White Tower have been sent out to royalty nearby to, you know, they don't know why, but they can make some guesses. They find out that Elida plans to build herself a palace. okay. That Moiraine is up for arrest, so they may not know about her fate. That the accepted Shemarim has run away, which they know she used to be Aes Sedai, which confirms that Elida is just, like, doing things that she wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they find out something that there's a call out to bring Elaine back to the tower right away or something like that. So it's all kind of, you know, information that's helpful, but nothing groundbreaking right now.
Yeah.
Elaine and Swan don't really have much to do. They kind of imagine stools for them to sit on. and they sit down and they're waiting. They make a mention that this room had stools in it that have, like, decreased over time, which seems important. Is it just talking about the maybe, like, dissent going on in the tower between Elida and some of the people? That there are less people who are, like, really wanting to meet with her and talk to her?
Yeah.
Okay. So then they hear...
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's... that's supposed to be, like, a reference to that, you know... In the episode, the chapters we saw where Elida wasn't, like, getting the attention she wanted or thought she deserved from the other Aes Sedai. So she's, like, making it more, like, forcing deference by not giving them places to sit.
Oh, I gotcha. That makes more sense. Okay. So, yeah, I was like, that seemed important, but I was like, I don't really know what the relevance of it was. So thank you. They're hearing other information as the paper search is happening. The sisters are, like, looking through the paper, it says, for hours. And as they are, Elaine overhears things like there are reports of nightmares walking in daylight, shadow spawn appearing from thin air, and two-headed talking calves. Sounds like the National Enquirer.
Yeah, seriously. Bat Boy.
Right. Elaine, she also hears that her mother is rumored to be either raising an army in the name of Manetherin or that she's a prisoner of Rand's. She doesn't know if she's even alive, but she also hears something about ruling Andor being the key, which made me think of Buffy. I can't ever think of the key without thinking of Buffy. In the meantime, Elaine doesn't know what to believe. She's worried about her mom and whether she's alive, and she's, like, just hoping that one of those options is real. She's worried about who has the numbers right now as far as Aes Sedai are concerned. Is it the Tower, or is it Salidar? Because they both probably had a big shift. And as she's thinking about that, there's also a note found about emissaries being sent to Rand from the White Tower. And based on when and where they were sent to and where they're going and the path, they surmise that the Salidar group of emissaries are, you know, being sent to Rand will arrive first. So Elaine wants Rand warned about this group going because she's like, yeah, right. Are they going to go there to offer him anything positive or do anything other than to steal him and kill him?
Yeah. The old steal and kill.
The old steal and kill. But before they have much conversation about warning Rand or whatnot, there's a scream from a room nearby. So they all rush in and they come upon a huge nightmare. It's like literally a nightmare. So it's kind of like isolated in the dream world. And it's a bunch of like Trollocs. Some of them are double the size of normal Trollocs. There's torture devices and a lot of screaming and whatnot. And when they arrive upon it, a few of the sisters are already being tortured or, like, bound by their arms, held above boiling pots, stretched. And they're screaming. And Sheriam and the other sisters are obviously, like, afraid seeing the other Aes Sedai in this peril, this whole big thing. And their, like, instinct is to link together. Sheriam's like, we have to link together because they can't channel by themselves in the state they're in, you know, Teleron Red. And Elaine is like, no, don't link. It's just a nightmare. You can't believe it's real. If you, like, interact with it as though it's real, like, you make it real, basically. Yeah. And otherwise, you know, we have a chance. But they don't care. They're like, you know, knee-jerk reaction is to do what they're doing. So they channel fire at the nightmare, and then they end up getting sucked into it. And two of them are reduced to just, like, screams. Sheriam is, like, in some kind of weird thing where her head is in a bell-shaped torture device, and the Trollocs are, like, stretching them apart. It's a nightmare. And Elaine knows that they can combat a nightmare by denying its reality, by imagining the room as it's supposed to be and not, you know, giving it any energy, basically. The opposite of it. And so she and Swan are trying to do this, but it's way too big of a nightmare and they can't do it on their own. And they need help, but their only hope for help, since Nynaeve and Leanne are nowhere nearby, is to access the women inside of the nightmare. And Elaine is like, well, we have to go inside. Swan is like, you're nuts, but all right, let's go in. That's like an action movie.
Yeah.
Like that moment before the the hero and the sidekick are like, let's go, and jump into the exploding building. So they do that, and they're both immediately, like, bound and being attacked by these nightmarish things. And in Teleron Riad, remember, you can die. Things can happen to you that will be real. You will be dead in the real world, too. Mm-hmm. So this is dangerous, even though they're not real. Like, if one of them kills one of them, that's real. So they're in real danger, and Elaine is screaming for them to, like, you know, it just, you can't believe it. It's not real. It's only real as much as you believe it's real. You have to think of the corridor. She keeps screaming out, the corridor, and Swan is screaming out instructions as well, hoping that they'll listen. Everyone is screaming. It's terrible. And as a knife is being held at Elaine's neck, she's bound behind hands and legs behind her back. She opens her eyes and she's in the tower, like a blink. And she's in the tower as it was. No nightmare. It's all gone. It's just the corridor. Mm-hmm. And they're all okay. Beaten up, traumatized, but alive. And Elaine, like, gets up, and they all, like, you know, brush themselves off. The Aes Sedai all know that they have to go recover. This was a lot. It's time to go home, wake up. So they all go back and leave the dream world and are going to go heal. And Elaine says, I'll be right there. She knows she doesn't have a lot of time, but she wants to make a stop first. They're expecting her in Solidar, but she has time for one quick thing. Meanwhile, Swan is like, I'm going to stay behind a little longer, if you don't mind. And Elaine, before she leaves, as I said, she wants to make a stop. So she imagines herself in Camelin, in the palace, and she has a hard time doing it, getting there. It takes her a long time, longer than it should, based on her experience with the palace. But when she goes there, she realizes why, and it's because there's a huge dragon throne that's now in front of her mother's, which is, like, being held up behind it, which we've heard about already. And she looks at this dragon throne and is like, what the hell is Rand doing? Like, this is not a good sign. I'm worried about him. She hopes that Min will get to him first and protect him, but at the same time, she's a little worried about Min getting there. And she swears to herself that she will bond him no matter what. She will have a part of his life and a part of his heart. And then she steps out of the dream world. And then we got a really quick perspective switch to Demondred. And Demondred steps out after witnessing Elaine. He was there watching her. And he couldn't hear anything or, you know, see exactly what happened. But from what he saw, he can tell that she wasn't thrilled with what she saw. She wasn't thrilled with Rand. And so she's likely going to do something about it. And he says, let the Lord of Chaos rule. And poof, disappears. And so do we, because that's the end of the chapter.
All right. Well, Chapter 8 is called The Storm Gathers, and the sigil is in Adam. And I just loved, I had to write down the exact opening line for this chapter because it made me laugh. Nynaeve woke the next morning at first light feeling grumpy. And that's basically the tone of this chapter. Yeah. Because she senses bad weather coming, not to be confused with Heather and Whitney from Salt Lake City.
That's what I was thinking as soon as you said
By the way, that's coming back, I think, like, early September.
It better be better. No more black eye. Say,
oh, God, that was so stupid.
Yeah, like, move on.
But despite her sense of the weather being terrible, the sky does not have a single cloud in it, but it's already hot as an oven. So apparently she is in Chicago with me. She and Elaine are sort of getting ready for the day, and Elaine is telling her all about what happened the night before in Teleron Riad after Nynaeve had been sent hunting after Leanne fruitlessly. Mm-hmm. Because basically, Nynaeve spent the whole night just kind of like hopping around Teleron Riad trying to find Leanne, and she thinks she caught a sight of her once in a tavern near South Harbor, but by the time she got inside, all that was there was freshly painted blue tables and benches. Which, you know, Leanne used to be blue, and she said, like, I have to go see if my people got my messages. So I'm like, oh, that must be, like, a sign that these, you know, like, if you got my message, the tables will be painted blue kind of thing.
Hmm, that's smart.
Thank you. like I did it. So she had debated giving up, but apparently Myrel has been on her ass lately. So she, Nynaeve, wanted to be able to say, like, I tried my hardest and I never found her. Mm-hmm. So by the time she did decide to call it a night, adding to her annoyance, Elaine had already been, like, gotten back, taken off her, you know, stone dream ring, and, like, was fast asleep. So she's like, well, great. Everybody's already gone and back to sleep, and I'm just getting back.
Yeah.
So she's annoyed that she wasted her night while Sheryam and the others had basically almost gotten themselves killed. And she's not quite sure that she believes Elaine's story, that Elaine, like, knew how to handle it and that she hadn't just gotten caught in the nightmare itself, but wishes that Elaine would just acknowledge, like, that she had been brave in, like, figuring out how to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And Nynaeve lets Elaine know that she thought she had glimpsed Rand for a moment in the square in front of the White Tower, which kind of nettles Elaine because she thinks she needs to be with him to guide him. And Nynaeve says, what he needs is what he has always needed. Somebody to box his ears once a week on general principle and keep him on the straight and narrow. Oh, Nynaeve.
Yeah.
But they both kind of are fretting over the men that they love. Nynaeve fretting over the fact that, or they're both kind of fretting over, like, whether Lan and Rand are, you know, even worrying about them a fraction as much as they worry about them. And Elaine fills Nynaeve in a bit on what the Aes Sedai had learned in the tower last night, which wasn't a whole lot besides Elaida is sending a delegation to Rand and she knows about his amnesty, but like, what is she going to do about it? Blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, I gotta go, and runs out the door because she is scheduled to teach her first novice class this morning, which Nynaeve has not yet been allowed to do because of her block for channeling. And also, imagine Nynaeve as a teacher for like brand new people. Oh, what gosh. A nightmare.
Although, from what we've heard about some of the Aes Sedai and the way they teach, she might fit right in.
That's true. I guess that's true. So Nynaeve is hoping to spend her day studying Swan and Leanne and is planning to borrow Mageddon so that she can use her link to her to channel. But unfortunately, Mageddon is arms deep in chores, which further irritates Nynaeve, especially because, like, the stress of keeping one of the Forsaken hidden, who could, like, spoil everything just with the wrong words, really stresses her out.
Mm-hmm.
So she grabs some tea and a bun. And what kind of bun? How would you describe a morning bun?
Oh, morning. Have you ever had a morning bun?
Is that like a real thing?
Yes.
I mean, I know buns are a thing, but like specifically a morning bun, is that a thing?
I believe so, yes. It's like a flaky, layered bun.
Like a croissant?
Yeah, it's kind of like assembled. Like it's flaky like a croissant, but it's in a cinnamon bun swirl.
And
it has cinnamon layered in it and like on top as well. Not a not glaze, but like a cinnamon sugar on top.
Okay, so it's there's no, like the difference between that and a cinnamon roll would be the sugary glaze.
And the type of dough, I think, because it is more flaky like a croissant than a bun.
Okay.
It's in a bun shape, but it's got like a flakiness to it. If anyone out there knows how, I've eaten them. And the bakery I used to manage, the baker used to make one that was so good with like orange in it. Ooh,
yummy. Me.
But yeah, they're good. They're delish.
So off she goes with her tea and her bun through Saladar, which is getting more and more crowded by the day.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to find Swan or Leanne so that she can study them. And she's kind of pulling that trick of like walking around quickly with a clipboard at work so that she looks really busy.
Yeah.
So as not to get pulled aside and sent copying notes by an Aes Sedai.
Mm-hmm.
And she spots Mirelle and to avoid her darts into a building. And inside that building happens to be Loghain, who is being supervised by Lilaine Sedai. And he's speaking to a few nobles from Altara, telling them about how the Red Aja put him up as a puppet false dragon and did that and ultimately betrayed him so that they could kind of get glory for themselves of having, like, you know, brought down a false dragon, blah, blah, blah. So this is all part of the strategy to get their world behind their faction of Aes Sedai.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
And yeah. And as he's finishing his story, Lilaine spots Nynaeve in the doorway. And so Nynaeve quickly ducks out and then luckily spots Swan, who is finishing up an argument with Gareth Bryn, who she is chastising for referring to her as woman, which is fair.
Mm-hmm.
And Bryn, you know, they argue, but then Bryn is like, you know, what do you know about the Aes Sedai's plans? Are we going to march? What's happening? And she quickly shifts to like Aes Sedai mode and is like, I'm not a spy for you. You'll hear from the Hall of the Tower when they decide. And he's like, Hall of the Tower. Psh, okay, fine. Sure. Tell Sharium that I'm ready. I'm waiting for orders. So he leaves and Nynaeve is like, hey, girl, I'm going to study you today. and chides Swan for not making herself more available for study, and tells Swan that if she doesn't make herself more available, she'll tell Sheriam that Swan is disobeying her orders. And Swan is like, fine, this afternoon, I'm busy this morning, unless you think that what you want is more important than helping your Two Rivers friend. And Nynaeve realizes she's talking about Rand, and is like, what do you know? Like, have they decided what they're going to do with each other? But before she gets an answer, Leanne appears, and Swan and Leanne do their, like, we hate each other routine, and like, snipe at each other while sharing information, which the information that Leanne shares is that Swan will not be meeting with the Wise Ones tonight, as Swan had hoped. And so she gets a fish guts in response, and they both like stalk in opposite directions. And Nynaeve was like, hello, I was talking to you.
The disrespect.
Yeah, seriously. And then Lilaine sidles up beside her and says that those two should be sent to the Mistress of Novices for a good switching. And asks Nynaeve why she came into the room just now. And Nynaeve is like, oh, I thought the room was empty. And then Lilaine kind of starts ruminating about like what Randall Thor will do, how remarkable the Two Rivers folks are, and like Egwene. And she's like, by the way, do you know where she is? And then before Nynaeve can respond, she starts like talking about Perrin and Matt and how their Aes Sedai have had just so much to talk about and so many things to say about all of the Two Rivers folk. And Nynaeve is like, good things, I hope. And Lilaine says that perhaps Nynaeve should be put back into Theodrin's care, or be put into Theodrin's care to break her block. Considering what Nynaeve and Elaine have been able to accomplish, like imagine what they would be able to accomplish if Nynaeve didn't have her block.
Mm-hmm.
And she also says that she doesn't think Nynaeve is doing Leanne and Swan any kindness by studying their severing and giving them false hope that they could be healed. And then she's like, well, you better find something to do with your day before you get yourself in trouble. By the way, have you ever considered you're cutting your hair? Bye. Nynaeve was like, what? And so as Lilaine turns away, Nynaeve shakes her braid at her. And Nynaeve kind of, you know, continues moseying around Saladar with her little clipboard, imaginary clipboard, and passes Dagdara Finchi of the Yellow Aja, who had been one of her main reasons for even like wanting to go to Saladar or stay in Saladar so that she could learn from the Yellow Aja. But, you know, through her little narrative, we learned that the Yellow Aja has not been very, like, kind or welcoming to her. And Nynaeve is like, if they know more than she does about healing, they weren't exactly forthcoming about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, why am I here? Like, if I'm not getting what I want out of, like, studying from them and all of this, like, oh my God, maybe we should just, like, leave. But she... anyway, doesn't know where she would go at this point. Like, would we go to Camelin, to Rand? Would we go find Egwene and Kyrian? Like, who knows?
These Aes Sedai are being real stingy with their information. Like, help Nynaeve out.
Honestly,
that's
why she's here.
Something.
So, as she's walking around, Nynaeve spots an Aes Sedai that she has never seen before. And she describes her with, like, you know, pale hair and a strong chin and cold eyes, and she's cold eyes, dead heart, can't lose. And she's like, what's that about? And the warder that's following behind her is looking really tense. So she keeps walking, sees Elaine leading her novice class. And as, you know, she's looking at Elaine teaching, we learn that the Aes Sedai of Saladar have basically opened up their testing requirements to women of even a couple years older than Nynaeve, which is, you know, new because usually it's like a few years prior that they usually do the cutoff. So as a result of this, Saladar now has more novices than the White Tower has had in years.
Yes, get those novices. Yeah.
Get those novices. And suddenly Theodrin is next to her and is like, hey, like, are you wishing you were teaching that class? Like, you know. And we learn that Theodrin has basically been sort of elevated to something above accepted, but not quite Aes Sedai. She's allowed to dress however she wants, but not, you know, she doesn't have a shawl or anything. But if she was in the tower, she probably would have been raised by now.
Mm-hmm.
And so Theodrin is, you know, asking her about her block and telling her, you know, if we were in the tower and you had gotten past your block, you likely would be Aes Sedai by now as well. And asks her, like, how her block works. And Nynaeve explains about, you know, I wanted to heal someone so badly who wasn't getting better. And then suddenly they would be well. And Theodrin is like, oh, that's much, like, much nobler and more useful than mine. And we basically learn that Theodrin could only channel if there was a hot guy around.
Mm-hmm.
And Nynaeve was like, how did you ever get around that? And basically, we learned that the Aes Sedai strategy was to create a bi panic in Theodrin and basically, like, fooled her with a pair of twins who looked pretty similar. And then suddenly, it was the woman twin and she was taking her shirt off and Theodrin fainted. And suddenly, she didn't need a hot guy around to channel anymore.
She realized it had nothing to do with the person, just had to do with her feelings.
Exactly. So Theodrin tells Nynaeve, like, I'm going to help you break your block. I need you to make yourself available. And basically, like, repeats the speech that Nynaeve just gave to Swan about making herself available. And if you don't, I'm going to tell on you. And she says that Myrel has charged Theodrin with breaking Nynaeve's block. And Nynaeve is like, what the fuck? Why is Myrel, like, on my ass in every way imaginable right now? So Nynaeve's like, all right, I'm just going to head back to my room and wait for Mageddon to be done with her chores so that we can study Swan this afternoon. And after a few moments, Mageddon bursts into the room and is like, look at this. And she's like, my hands, I've got dish soap hands. And Nynaeve is like, shut the fuck up. And, like, channels a little switch across her butt to, you know, get her attention and tells her to close the door and sit down. And we're going to have a lesson. And Mageddon's like, I'm used to better than this. So she tells Mageddon to teach her how to detect a man channeling. And Mageddon's like, that's not easy, especially without a man to kind of, like, practice with. And we learned that this weave is, like, super complicated and hard, and it gives you, like, a terrible headache if you're getting it wrong, blah, blah, blah. And they work at it for quite a while, but then Elaine bursts through the door without knocking, as is her favorite thing to do, and scares the bejesus out of Nynaeve and Mageddon. And she tells them that Elaida has sent an emissary to Saladar, and that was Tarna Fair, who is the Aes Sedai that Nynaeve spotted and didn't recognize. And so they're basically worried about, like, what does this mean? What's the message she's going to carry? Like, do you think that it's going to convince the Aes Sedai here in Saladar to, like, rejoin the tower? Because Aes Sedai would, like, unite the tower for, you know, they would sacrifice a lot in order to have the tower whole. Does that mean they're going to, like, throw Rand under the bus and allow Elaida to, like, gentle him? And so they're both like, oh, God, like, something has to happen soon. Like, this is too stressful. And that's the end of chapter 8.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. What was your favorite part of these chapters?
I know I talked about it so much already, but I just love that Elaine... I love the pursuit of, like, knowledge that Elaine has with the Tarungriel and that...
Oh, yeah.
Nynaeve has with the healing, because I feel like... I feel like Nynaeve is so close. And the fact that, like, it keeps getting put off just a little bit, I feel like she's A, very close to that, and B, very close to possibly losing her block, which would be really amazing. So that's very exciting for me. But the main thing in this chapter is the Tarungriel. I think it's just so cool, the description of what she's made and how all of the other women are, like, using her Tarungriel actively. And she, like the Adam is, like, just, it's just very, it's cool. It's like the next, it's like the new class.
The new X-Men.
Yeah. What about you? What's your favorite part?
I really like the nightmare scene. I feel like that was, you know, cause we've, like, heard about scary things, and, like, obviously we've had, like, Amys, traumatizing Egwene and then Egwene traumatizing Nynaeve. But we haven't seen something like that's sort of, like, free floating around the world and so big and so scary and so dangerous. And, you know, I think is it Carlinia whose hair, like, gets scorched off with, like, burning oil, and
yeah, I think
Sheriam
so.
Gets, like, stretched, or somebody gets all stretched and creaky.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. Miles and I actually, we just went to the medieval torture museum next to the Chicago theater that we saw when you were here. And it's gross. It's really, really gross. And as I was reading this chapter, I was like, oh, those are all of those things. Gross. So I liked Elaine, like, keeping her cool, and Swan also keeping her cool and helping them to kind of, like, get the rest of the Aes Sedai in order. So I liked that part.
Yeah, that's. I thought that was like really grim. The nightmare scene. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, everyone. I know posting comments on the internet can feel like screaming into the endless void, but writing a review for our podcast is really helpful, and it only takes a minute, and it'll really get other people to find us. So you should really try that out.
Oh my gosh! And another thing you should try is people try podcasts when somebody tells them they should try a podcast. So go and tell somebody to try our podcast.
Yes, and try to find us on social media. It's really easy. You can find us on Instagram and that, you know, whatever other thing Instagram has now. We're on Facebook at Cool Story Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Cool Story Pod 1. You can always email us at coolstorypod@gmail.com.
You sure can. We have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/nandmatt. And you get cool bonus episodes. We review movies. We play games. It's a good old time. So you should go check it out.
And you can always buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/nandmatt.
Thank you so much for listening to Cool Story.
See you next week.
Goodbye.
Thanks.